My dearly beloved in Christ, there are a number of lessons that we can learn from today's gospel. First of all, we have to admire the eagerness of the people to hear our Lord's teaching. In fact, there were so many people, and they were thronging close to him as he was close to the shore, that he found it necessary to get into a boat and teach the people from the boat as they were massed on the shore. So again, we have to admire the eagerness of those people to hear the word of God from our Lord's lips. But this also reminds us, because the bark of Peter, the boat of St. Peter, has often been used as a type or a symbol of the church which Christ founded, that there was our Lord sitting on the prow of the boat, teaching the people from the boat, just as his church is the mouthpiece of our Lord. He teaches us through his church. And what reverence we should have for the teachings of the popes, the councils, the saints, the fathers and doctors of the church down through the centuries. For that is our Lord himself teaching us again through his church. And then after our Lord finished teaching, he instructed St. Peter to take the boat out into deeper waters and let the nets down for a catch of fish. Now, St. Peter did what he was told, but not without a little bit of pushback, we might say. He said, "Master, the whole night we have toiled and have caught nothing, but at your word, I will lower the nets." So again, he obeyed, but with some hesitation. And that's why, after they brought in such a haul of fish as they had never seen, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." We have to admire here the humility of St. Peter. He recognized his fault, that he had hesitated, that he had doubted the words of our Lord. And in fact, they brought in so many fish that they had to signal to their partners, the brothers James and John, the sons of Zebedee, to come over and help them. So here you had St. Peter and his brother Andrew in one boat and the two sons of Zebedee in the other boat. And there were so many fish that they filled both of the boats to such a point that they were near sinking. Now, this miraculous catch of fish is symbolic of the harvest of souls that our Lord desires to be caught, to be taken through the net of his church. And that's why he said to St. Peter, after St. Peter's protestation, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord," our Lord then said what? He said, "Henceforth, you will catch men." So the harvest of fish is symbolic of the harvest of souls. In fact, there have been saints who referred to the conversion of a great sinner as catching a big fish. You probably remember, if you read the life of St. John Marie Vianney, the Curie of Ars, that the devil would bother him. There were times when he couldn't sleep at night because the devil would make all of these noises in his bedroom to keep him from sleeping. And it got to the point that he knew from experience that meant that there was going to be a big sinner that would come to him in confession the next day. In fact, he would say, "I'm going to catch a big fish tomorrow," if the devil bothered him and tried to keep him from performing his priestly duties of confession. So the harvest of souls, and what a wonderful thing it is to work with our Lord and for our Lord to save souls, souls for whom he shed his precious blood, souls whom he loves so dearly, so tenderly. And that's why St. James says in his epistle, "Whoever causes a sinner to be converted shall save his own soul, and shall atone for a multitude of sins. What a tremendous promise for those who work for the salvation of souls. And we all can do that. We all should do that. First and foremost, by our prayers. To pray, as Our Lady of Fatima said to the children, so many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and make sacrifices for them. So prayer is the number one means of earning the grace for the conversion of sinners. Prayer and sacrifice, prayer and penance. But in addition to prayer, we also have our good example. And yes, also our words. When the opportunity presents itself, to strive to learn our faith well, so that we can then answer the questions of those who may have questions, who may be searching for the truth, and lead them into the church. So this is the harvest of souls. And what is especially instructive and edifying in today's gospel is that when they got to the land, to the shore, after this big catch of fish, it says they, that would be Saint Peter and his brother Andrew, and their companions, James and John, they left all and they followed him. They just left everything. There were their boats, their nets, and a quite valuable haul of fish. They just left it and followed our Lord faithfully the rest of their lives. His first disciples, his first apostles. And so we can learn a great deal from them, especially again, the value of immortal souls and how much our Lord desires the salvation of souls for whom he shed his blood. Let us do all we can to cooperate in that work. And we also can pray, as we should, for more priests, for more vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. Because, as our Lord said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. And notice, our Lord gives no other means for obtaining more vocations than prayer. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. Because it is from God that vocations come. And our Lord, on one occasion, said to his apostles, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, indicating that a vocation is a call from God to serve him, to work with God for the salvation of souls. So these are some of the lessons we can learn from the story in today's gospel. And I would like to conclude by a brief reflection on the beginning of the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, where he says, brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not to be compared with the glory to come. We all have our cross to carry. We all have our sufferings. But isn't it important to remember that there is no comparison between the sufferings of this life and the reward of everlasting glory, everlasting happiness, for those who faithfully carry their cross and endure their sufferings. These words of today's epistle should be a great comfort to all of us. I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come. Let us keep our mind, our spiritual focus, centered on eternity, on happiness with God in heaven, to help us carry our cross, endure the trials that we must experience in this life, that we might be with our Lord one day in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.